Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on the New Human Living Radio Show tonight. I think you're in for a real treat. Tonight the topic is Secrets of Tantra, Sacred Sex, Sacred Life, and our guest is Janet Lee. We're going to bring Janet on in just a minute. You know, like the intro said, we like to bring powerful topics, powerful people, and connect them with you so you can awaken the power in you. And what I'm delighted about the show tonight is Janet's experience with Tantra. Now, Tantra is, I've heard many different descriptions from many different types of people about what Tantra is. And there is an element of people that perhaps haven't really even looked into it much, where they have this idea that it's some kind of a sexual exotic practice, and it hinges around that sexuality. Like that's the end game, is like mind-blowing sex. But Tantra, from my perspective, is much more than that, in a sense that when we talk about our human psyche, and maybe even get more vivid than that and say, when we talk about our psyche, the essence of our consciousness, the people that are walking around on this planet, so many of them have had such a loading up, if you will, of their psyche with pain and karmic imprinting from the past. And what I'm talking about here is who we are as human consciousness, because the scale of human consciousness is a very powerful and broad spectrum of potential, if you will. In the mythology of our human story, there's been sages and saviors and mystics that have had exceptional mastery of their consciousness, and they've done exceptional things with it. And perhaps that's on one end of the scale. And then on the other end of the scale, there's people that are totally wiped out, where they might be panhandling on the corner, and they've been through two wars, and they've loaded up their psyche with PTSD, and they're trying to get through the minute or the hour, let alone a day or a week or a month. And what's the difference between those two? I mean, when we look at this is a powerful aspect of our human consciousness, what are we really talking about here? I like the idea of, you know, when you were a kid, you would shuffle your feet across the carpet in your socks, and you'd build up a static charge, and then you go touch the light switch, and you get a little shock from the static charge that you built up. I like the model of a soul, in that perhaps a brand new soul has no karmic imprinting, and it also has no human experience. It's a fresh soul. It doesn't have any history to it. It doesn't have any imprinting to it. And then you fast forward to this kind of a timeline where we're living now, and there's these very powerful souls. Every one of us is a very powerful soul, and they're playing out victim mentalities. They're playing out survival struggles. They're playing out these karmic stories that have them right on the edge of life itself. So when we talk about the power of a modality, what are we talking about? We're talking about cleansing, discharging, releasing that built-up charge of karma from the past. And it can be a very powerful thing to do for yourself. You have to have some wherewithal with it. I just wanted to give that snapshot to it. I think it's time to get to the show, but when we talk about a powerful modality, most of the time we don't know what it is in our psyche that will open up and heal us in a deep and powerful way. So without further ado, let's get to it. According to Janet, we live in a touch-deprived society. Loving and caring touch heals. She loves giving holistic massages and loves how it connects you to your body, mind, emotions, and soul or spirit. Having the gift of clairsentience, Janet picks up on messages from her body and helps you learn how to read your own body and what it is saying to you. Most of us have pain and want to avoid that pain at all costs. And Janet helps you go through the pain into awareness, that's always powerful, and then into a higher state of consciousness. She studied Tantra for 15 years with Sean Roop of Tantra Quest in Hawaii, who is the author of Pathways to Love. Please join me in welcoming Janet to the show. Janet, thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you, Les, for inviting me.
So can you kind of start us off with like a snapshot or perspective of what got you into the practice of Tantra?
Oh, what got me into the practice? I know there was always more to sexuality than what you see, pornography, and because I studied energy and I knew there was more to it. So I took a class once on sacred geometry with Drubalo Melchizedek, and he said one thing in there, and that piqued my interest, and this is what got me on my way. He said that when you orgasm, you take the energy, you move it up, out your heart chakra through the back, you bring it around over your head, back into your heart in the front, and that makes an unk. So that's immortality. And that's what you use your energy for. And then you manifest with that. And so that's how I got interested in Tantra. It was just by that one statement that he had said.
And you said that's how you manifest or create it?
Yes, we can create using your sexual energy, because that's what sexual energy is. It's creative energy. It's your second chakra, so it's all about your emotions, creative energy, and not just sexuality, but it's your senses, your whole being. It vibrates through that chakra.
Right. So when clients come to you, you had mentioned briefly pornography and perhaps the shadow side of sexuality. Certainly, at least here in the United States, the Western culture, there's a real strong dogma or shadow side, if you will, of the exploitation of people through sex. When clients come to you and they start to work with their sexuality, do you find that they have kind of shame or guilt that hinges around their own perception of their sexuality?
Sometimes it's shame, sometimes it's guilt, sometimes it's fear. A lot of people have been abused sexually as children, and they don't know how to get past it. And so there's lots of, I'm going to put wounding, lots of sexual wounding. And I think most people have sexual wounding through some experience that they have had through some partner. They were too young. they didn't really know how to say no. That's men and women. There's so much. I'm going to put pain around it.
Sure. So, as you start to work with them, I mean, to put that consciousness, that awareness on the sexual energy within themselves, I can imagine them having a reflex of, oh, that's the pain from my past, and they want to shut down or they want to avoid it. I mean, do you find that it can take some effort for them to kind of turn and look at it, if you will?
They don't even get to that. Most of them write off. It takes quite a few sessions before they'll even want to look at that. So I have to start, you know, where you're at, and then work up to that. So most of the time it's like I need to open up your chakras because they'll be blocked. So that's chakra toning, to even release just some of the blocks so that you can even move energy before we can even go into deeper work. So, and now what I have to start with is teaching them how to breathe. Most people, you know, the Hawaiians call it howlies, especially Caucasians, because we're such shallow breathers, and we don't get enough oxygen to our system. And in order to become blissful, you need to be fully aware and in your body, and you need to have all this oxygen to move the energy to create a higher state of consciousness. I hope that answers your question.
Well, now, you've been practicing this for quite some time now. How have you changed? I mean, if you can look in a crystal ball or go back in time, when you first started investigating Tantra, and if you look at yourself then and then look at yourself now, how has it touched your life?
Oh, it's a touch of my life. I see myself more connected to the all. We are all connected, and it's how we. So, if you have an issue, then that means I need to clear that within myself too. So that's Ho'oponopono, which is one of the components I learned. You know, back then, I've been practicing it more now. So what it does is it gets us connected to the inner child to do the clearing for us. And so my life is, I'm more calm. I have more peace. I don't have the lustful. The lustful thoughts or feelings, because I see, to me, Tantra, if I put it in one sentence, is changing lust into love into prayer. So I use my sexual energy as a prayer now.
Right.
And so I find more peace. And it's just, I have a different connection with people. I'm more light, if I can put it that way. And I watch them, they start glowing, and my other, you know, people start to change, and they get to their core issues, and they release that, and then they become lighter, and we release all, it's called shedding, you know, shedding the weight. We release a bunch of baggage.
Well, so you talk about a prayer or the sacred element to it. It sounds like it's a discovery. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but a discovery of a deeper sense of yourself that perhaps was there all along, but it's more of a, through Tantra, you remove the impediments and reveal that deeper truth of yourself?
What deeper truth of the self and consciousness? a higher being or divine or whatever you like to call it, you know, whatever your name is, prana, universal energy. It's a higher state. The frequency I like to refer to is like love. So love, I'm going to use the analogy of sexual energy is like a big boulder. It's there. You know it. You can feel it. It's massive. You can't get around it because it's there. It's in your face. It's in your way.
Right.
So what we want to do with Tantra is we take that boulder and we start kind of chipping away at it or breaking it down, crushing it into smaller pieces and then into gravel and then getting it into, you know, finer stuff. And to me, love is that powdery, white, flower-like sand that if you, you know, say in Cuba, you were on the beach, that real fine, fine sand. So we're taking you from that big boulder and crushing it down into, pulverizing it into sand. And to me, that's what love is. So we ride this wave up to love. Because most of the things that we experience is not love. And to me, we came here to learn what love is. And so we have to go through all these, you know, got to ride that wave lots to break down that boulder into sand. I hope that makes sense.
It makes wonderful sense. I like how you're describing this. So when clients come to you and they start working with that big boulder, if you will, and they start breaking it up, do they? Is there like a, you know, sometimes people are attached to a way of life or perceiving life a particular way, and they'll have opportunities to perhaps look deeper within themselves. Do you see transformation in how your clients see themselves as they go through this process?
Well, I do. I have, I'm going to give you one example. I have one client. It took 6 years, but he finally got it. You know, I'd say, well, in one session, I'd say, well, this is, and it's just moving energy. We're just breathing. We're sitting in yab-yab, and we're just breathing. That's all we're doing, exchanging the breath. And I say, that's lust, and that's love. No, and then I say, that's love, and then, oh, you're back to lust. And he finally, you know, after all this time, he got it. I don't know how to put it to you. He got it and said, oh, I can feel the difference now. And what it did, it changed his life. He connected back with his family and his clients, and his whole life had changed. He has more energy. I like to call it, they tell me, they have, it's a confidence. They feel very confident in themselves. They feel very calm and peaceful. But they also have the energy more like a 16-year-old.
Right.
They can do things. They have more. They're more willing to experiment, or more willing to live life fully than what they were doing.
Well, I mean, that sounds beautiful. I like that. So, if I'm a listener on this call and I think, well, I want that. I mean, I want that for myself. Your clients, I mean, don't they have to have a little bit of skin in the game? Because, I mean, they can't just walk in and sit down and you pull out a magic wand and whack them on the head a few times and poof, it's done. I mean, it's kind of work within themselves, isn't it?
Well, it's all work within themselves. So we do breathing and we do energy. Once they figure out, I do, you know, chakra toning is one session that we do to start breaking up those energy blocks so you can start feeling. Then we'll do another session called body mapping, and that very light touch. And you'll start to feel in your body sorry, I want to call it erotic zones that aren't in the genitals or in other places. So I'll give you an example. How do I want to put this? So females, everybody has two sexual centers. We have our genitals and we have our throat. So for females, our primary sexual center is our throat. And our secondary is our genitals or the yoni. For males, it's the other way. It's their lingam, which is the penis, is the primary, and their throat is their secondary. Now, if you took the vagina and your throat and put them side by side, if you did an autopsy and you looked at it, they look the same. So they're very much connected to each other. It's about sound, it's about breathing, it's about moving that energy from your second base and second chakra up to the heart and then into the throat. Because sound is what we manifest with. It's our sound, it's our words. That's how we manifest. And where can I go from there? Another session is how to make sound, how to, especially if we do de-armoring, so we de-armor into the body all those places that are rigid or hard or we hold tension, and we break that down. It's pretty painful. It's not the most pleasant, but when you are done, you are light, you are... you start to understand how you hold your feelings. So it's like this book I read, and I follow her, and I liked it. It's called Feelings Never Die But Buried Alive. So anything, right. Any emotion is a past feeling that we hold in the body. So it could be a tight neck, or it could be tight shoulders, or most of the time it's in our gut, around our navel. And those are very sensitive areas, and that's where we hold a lot of this this baggage or all these emotions. And so that's another session we do. We have to learn to breathe. How do we breathe into it? How do we release that pain? And what is it in there? What is that emotion that's being held there? Once you can identify it, it's amazing how it just dissipates. It's not there anymore. It's gone. It leaves. And so that transforms us when we can start identifying what we're holding on to. And a lot of times we're unconscious about it.
I'm sorry?
So there's many different things that I do. It's because Tantra is very organic, and I don't have a system. Which, when I learned this, I wanted to have a system, and what do we do? This session, and this session, you know, this is, it progresses. And he said, no, it doesn't work that way. And now I get it. It's very organic, and where you are right now, and something could happen, and all of a sudden you release that, and we can go to a whole new level. I've been doing that kind of work, and all of a sudden someone released all that energy, and it moved right up to their third eye, and then they had a third eye orgasm. Well, that's pretty powerful.
Sure. Well, I like that. So when you talk about your body, I mean, I'm just trying to put some context to this. It seems like the sensory surface, or even in depth, our body is kind of a canvas of feeling, perhaps, and through the process of consciousness, through the process of your modality and touch and intention, it's like perhaps your body is a lens, and you're cleaning out what was dormant and stagnant, and masking your ability to feel. And the more you cleanse out of your body, out of your psyche, your persona, if you will, the more connected to that inner light, perhaps, or that well of love within ourselves.
Yeah, it comes, then after that, it comes down to, do you love yourself, and do you love yourself enough, and how do you love yourself? And it can be the simple words, you know, I love you, you know, I'm sorry, you know, like, I'm sorry, Bonnie, I'm holding on to all this stuff, please forgive me, you know, help me to release it, and then thank you. That's Ho'oponopono. Really simple, very powerful, really simple. And when we say over and over to ourselves and to the inner child, I love you, it's amazing how our body will shift and change and how it heals. And we go into a state of relaxation and kindness and gentleness as we become gentle with ourselves and gentle with others. And more communicative, because when we start to speak, then we speak more kindly, more our truth. So that opens up our fifth chakra, that, you know, center that we need for communication and manifestation.
Well, I like that. Now, you've mentioned the inner child a couple of times now. Is that what perhaps is revealed or reawakened through this process?
It's not in that. It's just I've learned to honor the inner child, because that's where a lot of our wounding comes from. So if we want to say our subconscious is the child and the mother is our conscious self, the mother doesn't know what the child is feeling most of the time. So when we love the inner child, it will heal the inner child and the wounding, and it will heal us. Because now we're dealing with the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind that dictates and runs our lives. It's those hidden emotions, it's all that hidden stuff that we don't see and we don't even recognize is there. How we partner, how we create relationships. So for an example, I really didn't know this was in my psyche or in my genetic makeup. There was a phrase that came to me one day when I was meditating, and it was, I would rather die than leave the relationship. That's
wow.
Pretty powerful, because I watched all my uncles die rather than leave their wife. And I'm watching this in the family dynamic. People are dying, and I'm going, whoa, I have to really look at this belief system, which I didn't even know was there, but that was way down in my psyche. So then it's like, but I do love myself, and I would rather love myself than die, and I can change the relationship, how I see the relationship. So that is one thing that, you know, when you start doing this work, these things can percolate up and you go, whoa, I really didn't know that.
I mean, that's a very powerful metaphor, if you will, to choose death over resolution and to have that mechanism in your psyche and your, especially like you're saying, you're watching it play out in the family dynamic. And I can certainly sentence that same kind of thing. I watch the same mechanics in my family dynamic where one person in the relationship would check out, they would die. And I watched it over and over. So, I mean, and to even, what, for me, what's really powerful is the notion of what you don't know, because, I mean, as you said, you weren't aware of this stigma, if you will, or this mental belief system. And then to discover that, that's a game changer. I mean, that changes the direction of your life. I mean, so as you, it's kind of, I could see how it'd be hard to tell a client what they're going to come across, because so much of this stuff is hidden in our psyche. It can probably go in some very curious places.
Yes, I have, and I'll do another example. I have one woman who, she came to me because she wanted de-armoring. She saw what I, that's part of Tantra, and it's the de-armoring thing. And she, and as we're working, because this is really painful stuff, and I warned her and, you know, prepared her and stuff, she couldn't cry. She was taught, and my husband, when I was married, was very good. I was not allowed to cry. So I blocked that. So I understood what she was talking about. And it took to the end of the session before she finally figured out all the anger, the hurt, where it came from, because she didn't realize she was told she couldn't cry as a child. And so at the end, she could cry. There's tears. So now she comes and says, I'm stuck. And she can feel when we work on it. She says, I'm so stuck, and I want to know what it is in this area of my body, what's holding me. And, oh, that's frustration, or that's anger again, or whatever it is. But she can cry now and let it out, and she can make her sounds, and she has a voice. And that, to me, is very powerful.
Indeed. Well, so if I'm listening to this radio show and I think of working with you, there's an element of getting like you were just sharing about that client that didn't have the permission, if you will, to cry. When people come and say, I want clarity, when people come and say, I want de-armoring, and when so much of this stuff is subconscious, they got to have some skin in the game, really, because it's work on themselves. I mean, they're taking that deeper, that clear look at themselves, perhaps, for the first time in their life.
That's true, yes. And also, you know, and this is more for, I'm going to switch gears a little bit on that. And men will come because they're pre-ejaculation, or they have erectile dysfunction, or they just want to be a better lover and stuff like that. So it's changing their mindset on how to have ejaculation mastery. And, you know, that's breathing and learning different touch and learning how to slow down. And it's learning how to do the orbit to cycle your energy. And there's, you know, and to focus on something else, not what you were taught and not what's in you or the guilt or the shame or however it is. And it takes, because this is not just what we've been taught ourselves. This is generational and then millennials, conditioning, how we've been taught, men and women, how we're supposed to be. If you come with the idea that, oh, this is, you know, one-time experience and I'll figure this all out, it doesn't work that way. If you come with an open mind, and you're willing to do some work and breathe and do some homework, things can change really fast for you that way.
You know, you talk about the span, you know, millennia of imprinting, of dogma, if you will. in the masculine arena, so often it is, you know, the boys told to, you know, suck it up and, you know, wipe away those tears, you know, we don't cry, we don't, and I know with some of the topics we've done on the show, the healthy masculine persona, the healthy masculine archetype, men really want to connect with themselves in a deeper and more authentic way, if you will, and the perhaps the bill of goods or whatever we've been told as far as what healthy masculine is hasn't really connected us in a way that feels authentic or feels deeper or genuine to ourselves. And so when you talk about these perhaps social or cultural imprints, I mean, when you start working with a client and they start working through this, doesn't that ripple through their inner circle or family dynamics? And as they change, the change ripples with the people they have relationships with?
Yeah, that's always, you know, in order to change, you know, if you want to change the world or change our community or change our home life, it has to come within us. It's always that ripple effect. You know, you drop a pebble in the water and it ripples out. So one of my, I guess, my studies when I was studying with Sean is we would do meditation and then we'd go to like a waterfall. And I had to become a water droplet and followed that, and when it connected, when it came off the fall and then went into the water, and how did it go and how did that feel? That was a really powerful experience. And then we'd go up on the top and he would say, okay, you turn your back and close your eyes and I'm going to throw pebbles in the water. And you have to tell me how many pebbles, you have to tell me when the rings connect, and you have to tell me when the rings hit the shore. Now, he used some big pebbles, and he used some small pebbles. The last one I had a really difficult time with, because I wasn't too sure, he used a piece of sand. And so that was really, really, really hard. And I'm going, okay, I don't know, this, it's just really difficult. But I said, okay, it hit the shore. And I was right, but it was just really, it was so subtle.
Right.
Because it's one little piece of sand.
Yeah.
And that ripple, when it hit the shore, that's how things can change for us. We can make that effect by one little simple change. One little thing that we can do different. The compound effect. There's a book, The Compound Effect. Just one little change, and it can change everything. For you, for your family, for your community, for your city, for your country.
Well, I like what you said about, you used the word subtle, and for so many people, they go through their day in such a blur. They go from one thing to the next, and everything is hurry, hurry, scurry, scurry, our bodies, our hearts, our psyche, if you will, in a general sense, wants to experience life, wants to connect, wants to, you know, like in your description of the show, loving and caring touch heals. And that loving and caring touch is a very subtle thing. It's a very soft energy to it. And so I can see how working with you and kind of honing your ability to perceive can really awaken that subtle awareness.
infant touch that I start out with is, you know, like Chipotle. So it's slapping, it's thumping the, you know, pounding on the body, you know, that stimulates the body, wakes you up. And then I'll do, that's a masculine stroke. And then I'll do a feminine. It's very, you know, caressing almost. It's light, it's smooth, there's no, it's not staccato. And then we'll go back, because it's very relaxing. And so that raises your energy. And so the next one, I'll go back to, say, pulling your body hair or pinching you lightly. So again, it wakes you up. And then I'll do another, it could be even lighter touch than I had before, slower and lighter, or it could be blowing on the skin, or it could be something like that. And then eventually it is that the subtle is, I won't even be touching your body and you can feel it and your hair all stands on end. And I'll have my hands good 2 to 3 inches away. And you
sure.
think that, you know, I've got feather or there's something I'm using, and it's not. That's the energy. It's moving energy. And when you can feel that, then you're ready to move to these higher states. And it's very subtle.
Well, indeed. It's go ahead.
No, go ahead. And I was just going to read one little thing from Madhukachia.
Okay.
And it has to do with touch. So without regular touch, women tend to become depressed and uninterested in sexual touch, while men tend to become more aggressive and become uninterested in touch that is not sexual, which is a recipe for disharmony.
Oh, sure.
So when I do the light touching, this is what the women will start crying, and they'll say, oh my God, why, you know, can you teach this to my husband? You know, this is what I want.
Sure.
And then the men, after a few times, will say, you know, that light touch that you do, I really, that makes me feel so good, and it relaxes me, and, you know, so then they're more open. So touch is really important, and you can tell when we do body mapping and stuff, you know, this is an angry touch, and this is a loving touch, and this is an aggressive touch, and this is a lustful touch, and this is a gentle, you know, like a bear type, not, you know, like a teddy bear hug. It's very loving. So you start to figure out what all these different touches mean.
Well, I like that.
Because we're just not aware of how we touch people. When you're consciously aware, then it makes a difference.
Well, and I think there's information there. Like if you're the toucher, if you will, and here's this precious body in front of you, and you go to touch it, there's information. I mean, as far as what kind of touch is wanted or desired, and sometimes it's kind of a collage of softer and then coarser and then whatnot, and it's like unlocking a lock or unwinding a spring, where if you follow that, it has a intention of its own, if you will, and to be present and listen and be still and just follow the energy, if you will. It can take on a whole, it's kind of like salsa dancing. There's this sultry layer that gets awakened sometimes. Tantra is a really fascinating dive into the vast depths of our psyche.
I don't like to say goals, but the intention. So some, you know, the intention, I would like to see, you know, is after a while that people start having, you know, there's, you can have this energetic body orgasm, multiple orgasms without touch. You're just moving energy. You're just breathing and moving. You can have orgasms just by breathing. And then you move it in and have heart opening and falling into each other's hearts. The heart orgasm, and then the third eye orgasm, and when we have the throat orgasm, when we ejaculate all the moisture into our throat because we have this pandemic of thyroid problems, that soothes and we become different. And then when we have a soul orgasm, we can't describe it, but it's attainable. It's there. We can do that.
How very nice. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left. Do you want to just, is there a few, like, secrets of Tantra or just some insights towards Tantra you want to share with us?
Some secrets. Okay, some insights. Well, it's, you know, there's conscious loving communication. So use your the I word, not you make me angry or you upset me. It's I feel upset. And what? How do you want? And what do you want instead of that? So some here are some tips that I would like to, you know, some secrets, I guess, you know. Be willing to be loving and come from your heart. And so, again, that's turning lust into love and then going into prayer. Be present in your life, especially when you're making love. So many of us do not, we have our minds and we're off somewhere else. To be totally present. And people, and your partner will know when you're there or you're not there. This is really easy to sense. Like, you know, you're just going through the motion. That doesn't work. Be present. Focus on your body, the sensations, yours and those of your partner, because you'll start picking up their energy and you, how does it feel, and you start mingling when you are totally present. And another thing, a secret is to enjoy things that you like doing. So when you, it's called filling your cup. So when you fill your cup with your joy and your passion and things you like to do, then it can spill over into the relationship cup. So your partner, you don't fill your partner's cup. They fill their cup, you fill your cup, and the relationship is the third cup. And it spills into the relationship cup. And then you can have a whole different conscious, loving relationship. We're not codependent and we're not needy, and we thrive. We go into flow and we have vitality. And so that to be, so enjoy what you like to do. Another tip would be to keep your body temple, because I think your body is a temple. You know, fit and healthy, and eat well, exercise, sleep, do meditation, and you treat it with reverence. This is, you don't get another body. You know, it's not like a used car. Okay, you're done with it, and we can go get new parts. Well, we do have new parts. We can, artificial parts, but it's not the same. Keep yourself healthy. Hydrate. Move. Dance. Salsa dancing is wonderful. Just dance. Dance is women's way of meditation. It just is very sensual. It moves and it puts us in our body. Dance gets you grounded. De-stress your body and de-stress your life. So diffuse it. So, you know, you can go for walks outside, which is very important. The sun, nature. In Japan, when I was there, they call it... what do they call it? Blank. They have to walk in nature as part of their healing. And I find that I have to be outside every day in the sun walking. I find there's some trees and some grass just to ground and connect with the earth and the magnetic field. Breathe. We need to breathe deeply, especially into your belly. We're not called howlies. Notice when you hold your breath, it intensifies everything. It's fire. And it, if you hold your breath when you have pain, you're just going to create more pain. When you can relax and blow out slowly, that's water, you know, the pain dissipates when you can do that. For women, choose to speak up and say what you need and want, because nobody can read our mind. Men do the same thing. They don't want to talk a lot of times. We can't read each other's minds, and we really do need to speak from our heart in a loving way what our needs are and sometimes our wants. And it's good communication. So that when we have difficulties sometimes spooning, so, you know, like spoon in a drawer, if there were spooning on the back, you breathe, you get in sync with each other. And that dissipates a lot of stuff. That's a really basic, looking into each other's eyes. And it's really hard to do, to gaze into someone else's eyes. So those are some tips. Is there any more tips you would like, or any other questions?
Well, I like what you're saying here. You're giving us really good content, and I like that. So, I mean, who would describe your ideal client?
My ideal client, they're open. They want to be better, be more of themselves. Learn to, you know, how do I want to put it? Not just be better lovers, but be their better self. And to me, when we can be willing to clear some of these trapped emotions, and so learning gratitude and being grateful, you know, loving yourself. It's just being more loving. My ideal client. They kind of come with an open mind, whether it's male or female, and they want to explore learning different touch. How does it affect me? How does my voice, learning how to use their voice, listening to different sounds? Are you willing to gaze into someone's eyes and tell them, you know, one of the exercises is the beauty I see in you is. And can you do that? You might not even know this person, but could you look in their eyes and tell them something about themselves that you find there's a beauty within them? These are tough things to do, but I've looked for people who want not just a sexual experience, but who want to grow and learn higher frequencies, love, to be happy, to be in the flow, and have a great life, be liberated.
Well, very nice. You're sharing such beautiful content. I'm very delighted with it. So are you, how do you work with clients? Is it always one-on-one? I mean, is it physically in the same place, or do you work online or through Skype? Or
I've done some Skype, yes. I do one-on-one. I've done couples. I have done classes. If there's enough interest, I do classes, small groups. They have to be pretty open that they like nudity. That part of it, it's learning body image. There's different ways. I guess I do deal with clients. We always start with you know, consultation. And what is it you want, and where do we want to go, and what are you looking for? Sometimes, no, they're not interested. That's not what they want. Sometimes, okay, let's go. And they have one or two sessions, and then they want to practice on their own. So there's lots of different ways, I guess, that I deal with clients. Sometimes it's a lot of it's through emails, just doing it that way.
So, do you? Where do you physically live? I mean, if somebody wants to work with you one-on-one, where does that happen?
I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Some people come here if they're from out of town. I have had clients from, you know, Eastern Canada and Western Canada, some from the States that have come up, or when they were in Edmonton, they come. I can travel to you. So there's many options again that can go there. With that one, I have, you know, I'm a world traveler, so I have traveled to different places in the world.
Well then, so how does our listener get in touch with you? I mean, kind of fill in the blanks as far as how they would initiate working with you.
Well, my website is www.secretsoftantra.com. I'm in the process of creating a new one, but the old one is still up. So there's Janet Lee at secretsoftantra.com. JANETLEE at secretsoftantra.com. Or another email I have is Body Connections, BODYCONNECTIONS at gmail.com. And those are two excellent ways to do that. I don't like giving up my phone number until I know who you are and what your intentions are.
Sure.
This is just for a safety issue.
Sure. Well, we're almost out of time. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts, you know, Tantra is it's an art form. It is. It's like your body is an instrument, and it's learning how to play your instrument, how to find the different tones, the semitones, all the intricacies, and it goes into harmony with the universe. And so, to me, that's what Tantra is about. It's another art form. And it's beautiful, and it's a beautiful process, and it's a way of life. So thank you.
Well, Janet, thank you. You've brought such wonderful content to the show, and your sincerity and your focus on this topic is really quite evident. Thank you for being our guest tonight.
You're welcome.
We've been talking with Janet Lee, and the topic tonight has been Secrets of Tantra, Sacred Sex, Sacred Life. It's always, I suggest, it's always to your advantage to find modalities that heal you, that cleanse you, if you will, that harmonize yourself. Like the conversation we've had tonight, It's very powerful to work on who you are, because you, by your very essence, is very powerful. It's my pleasure bringing you shows like this. It gives me great joy. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.